Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a long wait, but we are back and AFLW is back and we will never, ever take it for granted again.
That is a very good point, Fee. It's Motti here.
It's Motti. Motti is in the studio with me and I also have Rachel Hopkins on the line.
Hello, everybody.
Coming in remotely, just in COVID style radio that we do. But I noticed... We've got the three of us on that have teams that don't have an AFLW licence, but we'll just be observers of the game without the emotion.
Now, I know, Rach, you don't like to pick another team.
I don't think
you do, Fee, either.
No.
I've decided that so far I've been a member of the Western Bulldogs and a member of Carlton, and so this year I'm going to be a member of the Gold Coast Suns.
Wow.
AFLW.
You are a walking diversity.
Don't hate me, girls.
But yes, after the AFLW season came to a grinding halt last year because of a global pandemic, we are very excited to be back. And it feels like forever, doesn't it? That for me, been to a stadium and watched a game. And we've even had women's football. It just feels like a very, very long time.
That's because it is.
It's because it's a year. But welcome to the show. We're very excited to be back and pumped because AFLW is starting tomorrow night, Thursday night. And we, during the week, caught up with Bree Moody. Motti and I had a chat to Bree Moody. She's a Carlton AFLW player, plays the ruck. She was one of the inaugural Carlton team members, so played at that infamous game in 2017 against the Pies at Icon Park. But she was a great chat, wasn't she, Motti?
She really was. She just had a really good grasp on the game and where the game sits in you know, Melbourne and Australian sort of... our world, I guess, our football world. Yeah, she was gorgeous.
Yeah, could have talked to her all day. But also, Bree and I, we had a special chat with with our friend Donnie Hess. He is a mad... You know, there's mad passionate Americans that are into our game that get up at 2:30 a.m. to watch AFLW and AFL, and Donnie's one of them. He coaches an AFL team in Iowa, Des Moines Football Club. Mm-hmm. They're not playing too much at the moment, but when they are training, they train in the snow. So
You're
they're very dedicated
me.
And passionate, and we do a lot of talking with them all on Twitter and that kind of thing. But there's literally thousands of people in America that follow our game. It's very exciting. So Bree and I caught up with him about the AFLW season ahead. So we'll play you a little bit of his chat from his podcast, the Fourth and Long. We'll talk a lot about some of the changes to AFLW. This season ticketing is in and conferences are out. And they pretty much, as I said to Donnie, had the reception of a cancer diagnosis, didn't they? They were not welcome. And the other exciting news we've got is that this year is the first ever time that the AFLW will be playing or hosting an entire Pride round.
So yeah, that's right. So there's always been Carlton Western Bulldogs out at the Witten Oval, and which they've done brilliantly, both clubs, but now the AFLW in their infinite wisdom have actually made it the round, which is really a great thrill.
It's definitely a historic moment. So we're going to be broadcasting at Witten Oval and we'll talk all about that later in the show. But let's talk about some of those changes that have come up in the AFLW.
Of course.
So this week... on, was it Wednesday or Tuesday, the tickets went on sale for the games, or maybe it was Monday. Anyway, it was sometime this week. This week's obviously been a blur. But This week was the first time ever that you will now have to buy tickets. You can't just rock up to the stadium and hope to buy a ticket at the ground. Even if you're a member, you need to pre-reserve your seat.
Yeah.
And anyone under 18 can get in for free.
So what do you think of that, Rach? What do you think of the actual $10 amount and all of that?
Look, I think it's a bit of a shame. I think it's a great idea to restrict numbers and ensure that we can adhere to public health and safety measures. But I hope moving forward there will still be the capacity just to rock up to the game and pay your $10 or your $15 or whatever it is, and not having to pre-plan it. So I think that I'm just sad that that's gone. I really like that. I'd like just going, hey, let's go to Icon Park today. What a great idea. I'm going to miss that during the COVID season, but I also appreciate that's probably COVID normal. And I think it's great they're charging. Mm. Definitely elevates the game. It gives it a level of professionalism and a level of seriousness that the game needs and deserves.
Well, the Richmond Saints game, I think there was only about 1,500 tickets. I'm saying it now. I'm pretty much making up that amount, but it wasn't a huge amount of tickets. But they sold out in such a short amount of time.
They sold out on the day.
Yeah, very quickly. But I think you're right, Rach, that it is about COVID because it enables the grounds to keep a cap on it. Icon Park's cap for Thursday night's opener is 9,000. So I suppose there'll be games that don't sell out, so there will still be that opportunity. But I guess you've got to take the risk that maybe if you just head down there without booking, you'll miss out.
Of course, definitely.
I mean, one of the most common things I heard from the AFLW trolls, and look, let's face it, last season the trolling was relentless. But one of the big things that people would say is, "Oh, you're only getting the crowds because it's free."
Mm.
And I think this is going to kind of prove that no, people want to come, and it's not about the barrier of getting a ticket, and it's even an extra hassle this year, and it's still selling out. So I think it's going to elevate the profile of the game in a really positive way and give credibility to the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an amateur sport anymore type thing.
I'm going to go on. I'll be going on Thursday night's game. Are you two going to see if you can get along to something this weekend or wait to round two?
I can't.
I'm going to wait for round two.
Yeah, I can't, unfortunately, this weekend, but I will be there at round two. I'm going to be going to about three games, I think.
And you'll be watching. Breeza's going to, I mean, it may surprise you both, but Breeza is going to the Richmond game.
I'd be shocked if she wasn't. Yeah,
I think that's the sad thing as well about having to buy tickets because I don't support a team. I just love watching the game. I'm probably less inclined to go through the online process to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
That also demonstrates how lazy I am, granted, but because I support the game as opposed to a club, I'm less inclined to put in that effort to get a ticket before they sell out and so forth. But that's not a bad thing either. I mean, I'm hoping to still be able to listen to it on the radio and so forth. It's just a bit disappointing, but totally understandable and important to do.
And also it's quite, Breeze's floating fixture is in. We've only got rounds one and two, so it's hard to. You can't really buy in advance either. But
yeah, well, her dream of a floating fixture definitely came to life last year, didn't it?
Yeah, and now this year. So I think I don't think we'll get round three's AFLW fixture till next week.
Yeah, probably. It'll be 2 weeks at a time. I mean, that's all they can do. We've already had changes to the fixture in round one with the WA border closures. So,
can you remind me what actually is that status now? Have they shut themselves off to everyone?
Yeah, they're still shut to, I believe the border's still shut to pretty much the eastern states. Mm. But I'm not sure why. There doesn't seem to be any locally transmitted cases going around. But so it meant that the West Coast Eagles couldn't play Melbourne anymore, I think it was, and now are playing Adelaide because the border between South Australia and WA is open.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. So they had to move a couple of games around already because of that. And I would expect that'll happen a little bit. GWS had to move from Sydney to Albury to train. when the Sydney outbreak was happening, and then it became regional New South Wales was in trouble, so then they had to move to Adelaide. So that's just the way it's going to be. But I know the AFL is set on making sure that this year there is a team that comes away with the Premiership Cup.
So there should be. And also, no conferences this year.
Woo! I think that was a very welcome announcement, wasn't it?
I've got a question for both of you. Start with you, Rach. Why did we hate conferences so much?
Just wasn't right, Lottie. Just wasn't right because it didn't feel fair. It didn't feel even and equitable. And there isn't enough talent yet, I think. I think we could easily have a full season of all the clubs. I just didn't understand it. The divisions work well when you have, you know, a grand competition like the soccer, where you have hundreds of thousands of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars invested. This is a poor competition. I don't understand why they did it.
Well, 2019 proved why it wasn't a good idea, because Conference A was so much better than Conference B, and some of the teams that were better than the top teams in Conference B didn't play finals.
Look, the conferences were worked out, not defending them, just explaining them in some ways, that they were worked out that whoever finished first, third, you know, fifth, seventh, blah, 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 went into one conference, and whoever finished second, fourth, sixth, eighth went into the other conference. So there should have been sort of some form of balance, but boy, there was not. They got that wrong, didn't they?
Well, I think because there were so much changes between seasons, it was impossible to predict.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I think that's an excellent point. There is so much movement, as there should be. I think it's part of the excitement of watching the AFLW grow. But it is almost impossible to predict, which is probably why the conferences just don't work. Until they're more stable, it's probably never going to work.
So we don't have to worry about that now.
We don't have to worry because it's been binned, and we'll have
Is it forever or just for now?
Well, they have said it's no longer. So I think it was a very unpopular decision.
I think they think so long and hard, the AFL. And AFLW, when they change something, I don't think they then in a year go, no, we'll go back to that. I think they really...
I just thought maybe it was a COVID-19 response.
I suppose they could always blame it on that.
That they might have been worried that anything could happen and the season might be cut short again, and trying to create some sort of fairness within the competition, because, you know, the AFL will also have to think about the possibility of needing to be very agile and very fast in stopping games or restarting games just because of the nature of COVID. So I thought maybe that's why they've done it, as opposed to a ongoing decision. But I could be wrong.
Quite possibly. Who knows?
Well, there's a whole lot of other news, but when we come back, we're going to play you a little bit of the chat that Bree and I had. We crossed all the way to the USA. Who knew that there was such a fan base over there? But there are some mad, passionate people. And we caught up about the upcoming season in a lot more detail as well. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Brett Kirk. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy.
You're with Fee, Motti and Rachel. And Rachel has joined us all the way from the telephone. And we are in the studio, which is the way that you have to do radio these days. But I do have a... Bree and I actually caught up with a friend of the show, Donnie Hess. He coaches a team in Iowa. Now, of course, there's not a lot of sport being played in America at the moment, but with the pandemic. But they have a women's team and they train... you know, in the snow, they're very committed. They get up at 2:30 in the morning. And he asked us to be on his podcast, which is The Fourth and Long. And you can catch up on his podcast every week through Apple Podcast and all the places that you listen to pods. But I'll play you some of the chat that we had for him. You can listen to the full chat on the podcast. But here's a bit more detail about our briefing about the upcoming AFLW season.
Last year's AFLW was kind of just one of the weird ones. I know COVID was just kind of absolutely nuts and kind of threw it all to whack. But I mean, what are kind of your thoughts about last year and kind of the challenges that the AFLW dealt with, and kind of what are the changes coming up to this year?
Well, last season, where the AFLW was happening between February and April, and right in the middle of that, obviously, something like a global pandemic hit. And the first thing that happened was they decided to cut the last two games of the season and go straight to the finals. But even that wasn't possible in the end. I remember the speed of which everything was happening back in March last year. Yeah, it was literally day by day. And I really felt for the girls because, you know, you're going to think the AFLW players aren't like the male players in that they're not full-time athletes, most of them yet. So they were giving up, you know, they're working part-time. Some of them are working their jobs, then going to training at night and getting, you know, 5 or 6 hours sleep and doing it all again, and giving, you know, putting study on hold or taking unpaid leave from work, all to be athletes in the AFLW. So for the season to be cut short like that was really tragic, and I think the sacrifices that the women had made, it made it just that bit more painful. I mean, it was painful for all sports for sure, but I really felt for the girls for that.
And also, there was no premier, Donny. You know, the season had no premier, and which was a shame for especially some of those top-level teams, you know, right at the top who had won the semi-finals, like Fremantle, for example. They went through the season undefeated. So, you know, there was a couple of teams that were really in form that, yeah, couldn't really show their wares in the back end of the season to finish off as premiers, so they'd be disappointed as well.
Yeah, I remember keeping an eye on that, and that was the one thing that did kind of sad about the ending. It was just so anticlimactic because Frio had such a great season, and I think everybody was expecting them to win the flag unless there's some kind of kookiness happened, which again last year was just kind of nuts, but it was so anticlimactic because all of the issues with COVID kind of hit right at the absolute worst time. And I did feel so sad for the ladies just because their season really, they were kind of the afterthought, and that really kind of stunk for me. So it's like, I think that was one of the reasons that I really wanted to do this. I wanted to promote it a lot more because I think I've seen many of the games. I think the games are awesome. I think the skills are getting better each and every season. And I'm so looking forward to this season. I don't have a team myself, so I consider myself kind of the free agent of fans. I'm not even sure I'm going to make a fandom or not, but I'm thoroughly going to enjoy this, and I will definitely try to make this a bi-weekly review. So kind of going off that, let's kind of look at going into this season. Are there any teams that you really are interested in seeing how they're going to go this year? Kind of like preview a couple of the teams in this going into the season.
I'll start. I'm really interested in seeing how my team goes. Richmond, they were winless last year, so and sacked their coach in the off season. So we've got a new coach. We traded heavily to get in some experienced players. So Richmond fans are keen to get that first win in AFLW. So I'm keen to see that. And I'm really interested to see how Carlton goes, because Carlton loaded up again and got themselves a, you know, just a gun midfielder from Melbourne in Elise O'Day, just to top up what they're already doing quite nicely. So I think Carlton really consider themselves, you know, heavy finals chance to take home the premiership this season, I would think. They're my two.
Yeah, on top of that, I would also rate North Melbourne. I think they're, you know, very, very strong team, and, you know, have been building their women's team for years with the Melbourne University football club, and they've, you know, really committed to that. And also St Kilda, I think they're, you know, they've only been in the comp for a year now, but I think they've got some really good players coming through with Caitlin Geyser and you know, a lot of the team that they've been building this year, and I'm excited to watch them play also. I think they're a sneaky chance for a premiership also.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to see Canfrio keep it up after last year's undefeated season. I think the really biggest thing is they weren't super active in the off season, but I think they're so strong. So it's definitely going to see how that kind of, and then travel definitely with COVID is definitely going to see how kind of some of these teams handle it and everything like that. The good thing is we'll cross our fingers that we don't have to worry about any hubs for these ladies, but
We've already had a bit of movement because here in Australia we've got very, very little COVID. We've all but eliminated it in some sense, but we do have these outbreaks that happen from hotel quarantine, and over Christmas and New Year's, New South Wales had a big outbreak, and so the GWS Giants moved to Albury, which is kind of on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. And then even then, regional New South Wales got into a bit of trouble, so then they've moved to Adelaide. So I expect that we will see, you know, bits and pieces of that, probably not like it was last season here in Australia, but I expect that we'll have to have a flexible, you know, approach. But thankfully, Victoria's where, you know, a lot of the teams are based is very stable at the moment.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing. I mean, I got to give it to you too. Your country has handled it so much better than ours. I'm not even going to lie there at all. So we won't go into that particular topic. But I got to ask you, ladies. I mean, we kind of already discussed a couple of the teams we're really looking at going into this season. But I got to ask, who are your kind of your favorites? Who are your kind of flag favorites? Who are the teams that right now going into this season? We don't know how injuries are going to go. We don't know how lists are going to handle kind of the fluctuating. Who are your favorites to maybe win the flag this year?
Mine are definitely Carlton, and I think Fremantle as well.
I would have picked those two, and maybe Melbourne.
Melbourne for me, I was going to put them in the interesting category because they actually lost a lot of talent in the off season. Mm-hmm. They lost, for example, Elise O'Day, they've lost Alicia Newman, Bianca Jacobson. Yeah, there's been a ton of movement down at Melbourne to rebuild their list. So Melbourne will be interesting to see how they handle all of those changes that have moved on.
Might have missed their opportunity last year. But another interesting thing that happened, Donnie, is it's also going to be ticketed for the first time. So up until now, the games have been free. So, you know, where a lot of the critics of AFLW are like, you're only getting the crowds you're getting because it's free to go, as if we'd give up a whole afternoon of our weekend just because we're saving $10. But now the tickets are going to cost $10 and people have to pre-book. And especially around safety with COVID, we'll have to pre-book to go to games. You can't just rock up on the day and buy a ticket. So I think there's some really exciting changes that will balance out the competition a lot more and, make it easier and
more fair. I don't think there's been an official announcement about the final structure yet, but the assumption is that it will follow the AFL structure, so it will be the top eight sides, and that's consistent with how they ran the conference system as well. So, yeah, waiting for an official announcement about the final structure, but we assume it's going to be the top eight teams.
Yeah, that would definitely be nice. And I think it's really interesting that they did throw in the ticketing system this year, and which I agree that the COVID tracking, which again is so much better in that situation. And it is going to see, are there going to be people deterred from the ticket price, which again, $10, that's really not that expensive. I don't know why that should really deter people. And I think with the
two coffees, two lattes.
Exactly. and with the increased numbers in youth footy and youngsters down in that area, I think you're going to find people that are going to go. Families are going to take them. I mean, with the fact that most of the games aren't being held at the massive, they're being held at smaller grounds, which are a little bit easier to get tickets and a little bit easier for families to get to. I think it's nothing but good. I'm super looking forward to it. I'll be up at 2:30 in the morning watching some of these games live. I'm super excited for it.
Motti. I'm very delighted to be chatting tonight with Fiona and with Rachel. What we're about to play for you now is an interview with Bree Moody, who was one of the original players with the Carlton Football Club. She played on the first game of the AFL ever. And she's also going to play on Thursday night, which is the first game of the 2021 season. Let's have a listen.
At 5'11", Brianne Moody plays ruck for Carlton, affectionately known as the Blue Baggers. Nominated for the AFLW Rising Star Award in 2018, and the same year you won the club's Best and Fairest. Bri has been a star for the Blues since being drafted in 2016. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
What an introduction. Thank you very much, ladies, for having me. How exciting.
Well, Bri, we didn't make any of that up. That's all true. Now, you've been playing at Carlton since, really since the league began in 2017. It must be incredible to have been a part of it at the, from the very beginning, and then now we're going into, you know, 2021, 5 years
yeah,
now.
Definitely. Yeah, of course. I know telling people that I'm heading into my fifth season just seems unreal, but it's very much true, and it will be true as of Thursday night. But, yeah, I suppose this year I've been, not intentionally, but reflecting a lot on the last 4 years and how far we've come. And there's 7 or 8 girls at the club now that have been there from the start with me. So every so often we'll happen to be in a drill together or in the gym together, and we'll sort of be like, oh, wow, remember when we couldn't bench press the bar and now here we are, we're all doing 50, 60 kilos and that sort of thing. And out on the field, you can definitely feel it, especially again with those girls that have been there from the start, just how connected we are and how we know how each other plays. And bringing new girls into the group is just so easy and effortless now, I think, because we have such strong mentals and such a strong understanding of those original players and those that have been with us for a couple of years. So, yeah, it's really something special at the club at the moment.
And that first, so therefore you 7 or 8 players were together on that first night, that first amazing night, Carlton versus Collingwood on the, you know, the first game of the league. So you share that. So that might, do you ever touch on that and go, wow, how about that? How about Darcy kicking all those goals? And how about, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely. I think it's hard not to. We train, obviously, at Icon Park. So every second or third day we're running out on that field, and it is so hard not to imagine all those people that were there for round one. And afterwards I had friends texting me saying that they were locked out and had to jump the fence. And yeah, quite frequently I'll look up into the stands and just think, wow, this was a packed house, and it was, yeah, a very special night.
Yeah, well, we were all there that night too, and I remember just watching the crowd fill up, and then we got there a couple of hours early, and then the announcement came over that that had sold out and people were waiting out. And look, one of the exciting things this season is, you know, people can't say we're just going because it's free, because it's now being ticketed. But one thing I wanted to talk about with you personally is, I mean, you come from a big sporting family, and I know next week you'll be playing your sister, I think, in the Pride game. What's it like to come from such a big sporting family?
Yeah, look, I think from my point of view, it's something that I'm so grateful that I have been brought up in. Obviously, mum and dad, very successful with their racehorse training, but also growing up with my two sisters, very close in age, we've always been very competitive, but I think that has also helped us to get where we are. We've continued to push each other along the way, and it's actually how I got into football, was following both of my sisters into a club after high school. We sort of played on the school footy team together, but it was pretty social. It was maybe 4 or 5 games second term of each year at school, and the footy team was only running for the 5 years that my sisters and I were there, so we're pretty lucky to be a part of it. And yeah, they both followed it up once they sort of got into their older years and once my older sister left school. But I was always out with the horses, show jumping. Mum and I would take the truck around Victoria, going to different shows and that sort of thing. So I'd go and watch my sisters when I could. But given that I had such big commitments with my horses, I wasn't able to give footy a go until I actually, I think it was year 12, I was like, I finally have to put the horses on the back burner and get through my studies. And then I realised, hang on, now that I'm not riding, I've actually got a bit of time here and I like this time. So, yeah, I followed my older sister to Cranbourne Football Club and yeah, started playing VFL alongside her. So yeah, it was pretty cool. I definitely wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for my parents or my sisters.
Yeah, well, you might even get to give her a tackle for a bit of revenge next week as well. Now, what's it like training at the moment? I know there's still, you know, we've still got to navigate this COVID situation at the moment. What's it like with training? What do the restrictions mean for you?
Yeah, obviously throughout the last couple of months we've been ready for any changes and that sort of thing. We came back into the club and I believe training was all normal, and within a couple of weeks we were back into smaller groups. So smaller groups of 10, only two out on each end of the oval at a time, the other group in the gym wiping down equipment and that sort of thing, and just being really careful about a different... we're all used to sharing the same locker room. All of a sudden we're in three different locker rooms and spread out across the whole club. So there's definitely things to get used to, but then I suppose as COVID settled down a little bit, we came together as a group, which was nice. And it didn't take long till we were back in our smaller groups. So we sort of learnt that everything is subject to change and we take the full training sessions when we can get them. But I think one thing that I've been a part of in the midfield is that we've gotten to know each other's strengths and have become really strong as a small collective. And I think the backs and the forwards would speak to the same thing, that it gave us an opportunity to really focus on our lines, and then we were able to put what we had been working on together on show once we were in our group training. So yeah, I mean, we took each training as it came, but I think we definitely made the most of the situation.
Sure sounds like it, and it's a very positive way to look at it, which is great. We're having a chat to Bree Moody from the Carlton Football Club ahead of the first game on Thursday night against Collingwood, your traditional rivals. There's been a number of changes to the AFLW this year, including charging for admission, which Fiona mentioned before. Do you think these are important measures to sort of elevate the AFLW in the eyes of the general public? Do you think it helps to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, talking to my family and friends over the years, they've said that they don't get why we weren't doing that from the start. And I know that there are certain reasons that the AFL has not been charging in the past, but I definitely think it's a good step forward to prove that we are a professional sport and just, yeah, sort of show what we can do and that we've earned this kind of right, I guess, to be playing in front of paying crowds and that sort of thing. So yeah, it'll be good to see how it goes. I know all of my family and friends have already bought tickets, and I mean, at $10, it's yeah, pretty much nothing anyway. So no, they're all very excited to get out there on Thursday night and welcome back footy.
And 9,000 is the capacity, or that's the, you know, capacity for this year at the moment anyway. That's still quite a lot of people in that ground,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, even talking to some of the new girls, they're like, oh, wow. And the young 18-year-olds talking about round one, that very first season, and I was sort of saying it doesn't matter whether we've got 2,000 or 5,000 or 15,000. As soon as we get people into Icon Park, the atmosphere is amazing. So, yeah, I love pumping the young ones up, and I think they're very excited for the season as well.
Yeah, look, it's been great to watch some of these clubs return to their spiritual homes through the AFLW as well. I know the St Kilda Football Club have really found that with their girls as well. But next week's a historical round where, for the first time ever in the AFLW, Pride games are going to be played throughout the whole round. So every game will celebrate LGBTI Pride. Carlton and the Bulldogs have been involved with that for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. But what's the significance for the players and your club, do you think, with these kind of initiatives?
Yeah, I think it's something that we are so proud to be a part of. We know that there are so many different people out in our community, and it's about celebrating them. And even on our team, there are no two players that are the same, and that's what makes us so special and so unique as a collective, is that we celebrate those differences, and we know that as we work together and become one group, we can also achieve such amazing things. So yeah, it's a really exciting round, and we love going out and putting on a show for people that might not necessarily feel that they belong out in the community without football and that sort of thing. So, no, for us, it's really about bringing together those people that are out in the community that love footy and that is their that's sort of their way of fitting in. And we love, yeah, putting on a show for them and just celebrating everyone's differences.
Yeah, it's a wonderful round. We've been there the last couple of years. Chicks Talking Footy have, you know, broadcasting, and just to stand there and look across the ground, look at you all in, you know, your rainbow colours, training jerseys, and the umpires with the flags, and, you know, it really has been terribly special. So,
yeah, definitely. They put a lot of effort into it. And it's not only special for AFLW, but also for my family, because it is the clash round between the Bulldogs.
Yeah,
I can fight against my twin sister and give her a couple elbows in the ribs.
So what's the tally? Who's in front?
I think Carlton are 2-0. I think we won the last couple.
No, she's going to be trying.
And it's not going to change this year.
Now, just before we let you go, Bree, lockdown, we all know about it. We've heard a million things about it. But did you learn any new hobbies in 2020?
Did I learn any new hobbies? I finished uni, so I suppose it gave me plenty of time to stop procrastinating and actually get my uni finished. In terms of hobbies...
Did you get back on the horse or anything?
literally back on the horse.
I enjoy going for a trail ride with Mum every so often. We've got a few show jumpers here that I am, very fortunate enough to get on and go for a ride when I can. But no, I think this lockdown for me was a big focus of, all right, I'm going to try and be as fit as I can be. We've sort of training from March. So I wouldn't say I had any new hobbies, but my focus was definitely on being the fittest and the strongest I can be. And I hope that I prove on Thursday night that I am. I'm feeling, ready to go. So can't wait for this season.
Well, we'll be there, so we'll be keeping a keen eye on your fitness throughout the game. Bree Moody, thank you so much for joining Chicks Talking Footy. It's been Fiona and me, Susanna, and we've really enjoyed it. Good luck for the game.
Thank you very much, Susanna. Thanks, Fee. Lovely to have you.
Thanks,
Bree.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. This is our first show back for 2021. And I have in the studio with me Motti, Susanna Mott, to her parents. And Rachel is on the line as well, joining us remotely. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
And we've still got a lot of... Well, first of all, wasn't Bree Moody absolutely lovely to talk to?
She's great. I unfortunately, even though I'm joining Gold Coast Suns this year, I unfortunately have developed quite a soft spot for Carlton. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, being an Essendon supporter, but I don't know what's happened. Over the years, they've always just been lovely down there. Daniel Harford's so funny. They're very open team and they're, you know,
they've got great initiatives like Carlton Respects and all sorts of things.
So, anyway.
I think they're a force to be reckoned with too this
season. I think this year, yes, I would think about that. Let's have a chat about Tim that a bit later in this segment. But firstly, I just wanted to talk about the concussion issue, primarily in the men's game but also existing in the women's game. Mm. Just off the back of the information that came out that Shane Tuck... post-mortem was found to have a really severe case of CTE, which they believe may have contributed to him, to his death. It's shocking, really, isn't it? It's absolutely shocking what's happening.
It was one of the worst cases they'd seen, which, is alarming, isn't it? And you think... He didn't have a particularly long football career.
It's interesting, Rach. Have you been keeping up to date on it this week? Reading, about the whole concussion thing as well.
Yeah, I have. It is really distressing, and I know Shane took up boxing afterwards, there might be some of the side effects of. Well, the CTE that he experienced may be as a result of that sport as well. But notwithstanding that, I think it is really positive that this has come to light, because I'm hoping, as we know, the AFL has now made a decision to extend to a 10-day rule. And hopefully they're going to put other measures and responses in place to assist players, because it's just devastating. It really is.
So they've now, the AFL, it was 7 days. You couldn't play for 7 days after a concussion. And the AFL have now extended that to 11 days. I've listened to quite a number of different interviews over these past few days, and one specialist said really it needs to be 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and obviously, you know, medical specialists probably err on the other side, but Peter Jess is a player agent, and he has now sort of become a concussion advocate, and he said that in I don't know if he's looking after the people, but within his realm is 140 ex-players or ex-players / players, including three AFLW women, who are suffering effects.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Terrible.
I also had Dr. Alan Pierce, who seems to be a leading researcher and doctor in this field. And he was saying one of the concerns, though, of 30 days would be the fear that some players may play down their symptoms in fear that they won't be selected or they won't be able to play, or somehow they're going to negatively impact the club and their teammates, so they'll be too fearful to be honest with the doctors who are at the club, and that is a bit of a concern.
I think that's probably happened historically, hasn't it? Speaking of Dr. Pierce, we've got a little bit of that interview because he talks very interestingly about something called subconcussions. Here we go.
When it came to Shane being 38 years of age and what you found, was that a shock?
The short answer is yes. I think that's the thing. Even though, as you said, we're seeing, you know, more and more news of this coming out worldwide, you know, in fact, not just here in Australia, but to see it in someone so young and it was a stage 3 / you know, borderline stage 4, which is very advanced, so that for us it was a real absolute shock.
The scary thing as well is that for those that watched him closely, you know, they would tell you he didn't have a playing history of major concussions. I mean, he did dabble in boxing in retirement, but that was only a small slice of his professional sporting life or his sporting life as a whole. Is this where the concept of subconcussion enters into it here, Alan? Can you paint the picture for us on this?
Yeah, exactly. So while concussions themselves are not good for the brain, we're certainly not diminishing the effect of a concussion or two or three concussions. What we're actually seeing with diseases like CTE is the effect of this accumulation of exposure to repetitive trauma to the brain. So, you know, we call them subconcussions because they are impacts to the brain that do not show up as, the classic signs and symptoms of concussion. So, you know, you get a bump, you get pushed, hit to the ground, you come off a mark, you get tackled. All these forces can be transmitted through to the brain tissue, which, you know, sort of stretches and shears the brain tissue very sort of microscopically, and that can slowly add up over time. And so this is what we're seeing, the effect of exposure to repeated trauma.
Wow. So we just also, that was from SEN, wasn't it, Sam?
It was Sam Edmund talking to Dr. Alan Pierce
on the radio the other day. And I think the thing that shocked me was every 10 years the possibility of contracting this disease, if that's the right wording, is it increases. So you've got to think about kids that play football from primary school, then in high school, and then have a 15-year footy career.
Yeah.
The chances of them getting this disease is really high. And, I mean, some of the players that we know that played in the 80s are now really struggling with brain injuries and depression and all sorts of things as a result. It's alarming, and you think there's thousands of players. Yeah. Sorry, Rach.
The cumulative effect is quite worrying because in a lot of sports, not just contact sports, netball even, you fall, people hit their head, it's tough, it's hard, particularly if it's a professional sport. So it's quite alarming.
Now with this, what he mentioned about subconcussions is that it doesn't necessarily come up. What, here's a question. Why do people not wear helmets?
In AFL?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of players that do, but not. It's generally not.
You know, yeah. Caleb Daniel does. Yeah. I mean, Nathan Burke did. Gary Wilson from Fitzroy sort of in the 80s did. But why do not many people wear them? Is it, maybe it doesn't, and I've never heard anyone suggest they should, so perhaps that doesn't help.
I heard something about them not offering the protection that you'd think.
Mm.
But, yeah, I'm
not
sure.
Are they uncomfortable if you're running around at extraordinary pace? Are they uncomfortable? I don't know, because they're not mandatory and the option is there. Perhaps if they're not, you know, enjoyed, if they're not nice to wear, people might think not to worry.
I think you're probably right, Rach, but it might be one of those ones that down the track they say you all have to wear them and then everyone's on an even playing field.
Agree. And look, even with this new, with the more press as well, the more media comes out and starts to talk about this, and hopefully also the stigma of having a concussion and fearing that it might negatively impact your club will also dissipate, and people and sport professionals will feel more confident if they actually know I can't go out there and play.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, look, let's hope that the medicos and the clubs all work together and get on top of this.
Well, more than that, internationally, everyone's got to cooperate because this is an issue that faces many sports.
It does.
Exactly.
When we're going to have a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to tip the first round of AFLW. You're with Chicks Talking Footy. Wow, what a show. It's already in the final quarter. As you would say.
Time on almost.
We're in time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't go into time on. But we round one, let's do some tipping. So the traditional opener, well, it hasn't been every year, has it? But Carlton and Collingwood will be playing round one at Icon Park. Who do we think is going to win?
Carlton.
Carlton.
Yeah.
Carlton.
Although Collingwood did play very well last season. And they did recruit Bree Davey, which I think was a good recruit. But, yes, you'd have to tip Carlton.
Oh, can I just say one thing? Also, this is, you know, really just big information. Breaking news is I don't think the hot dog stands are open.
What?
Yep.
Who told you that?
I read it because I know, because of
COVID.
Blooming COVID. I mean, pretty much everyone will be blaming anything on COVID these soon. But, yeah, that's devastating, obviously.
I don't understand because you can buy food from places.
Well, listen, I'm going tomorrow night, as I said, so I'll report back.
But, do some research.
Carlton, and I can't wait to see Matty Prasparkas and Taylor Harris continue their excellent
form. They've just got so many stars in that team.
They have.
Darcy Vesio.
Elise O'Day from Melbourne.
That's right.
I mean, she was one of the co-captains at Melbourne at one point.
I know,
so
that's
that'll
a big
be ace.
Mm. Yeah. Another big game is St Kilda and the Bulldogs at RSEA Park. I'm going to rate St Kilda this year.
Are you?
Yeah.
You've got a soft spot for them, I reckon.
Well, they've been coached by Peter Searles.
Mm.
And I think the club fans really get behind them. We went down to that game last year and very special. So, yeah, but it could be a close one, but I'm going to tip Saints. What about you guys?
I think I'm going to go the Bullies.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go St Kilda too. I just think that the Western Bulldogs haven't been fantastic after 2018. I don't know what it is, and I love McLaughlin, as we know, and they've got rising star Huntington in there, but I just don't believe in them anymore. I'm
going to
go St Kilda.
Okay, Suns and Melbourne. Your new Suns,
Moddy. Well, I mean, just because I'm going to be their member doesn't mean I think they're going to win. Melbourne will win.
You're supporting. I think it's hard to tell with Melbourne what they'll be like this year because they've lost a couple of stars. Alicia Newman's also left. But yeah, although it's at Metricon Stadium, I think, so interesting.
I'll go Gold Coast just because I love Barrett.
Yeah, I'll go Gold Coast. Eagles and Adelaide, a reshuffled game in WA.
Adelaide.
Got to be Adelaide. Adelaide.
And congratulations to my girlfriend Chelsea Randall for, you know, she's now captain on her own. She's a bloody champ, that one.
Karen Phillips stepped back. Carlton, Cats and North. North. Yeah, I think I rate North this year as well. Tigers and the Lions.
Tigers.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go Lions. But the Tigers have surely got to be better than last this year.
But Brisbane play well on the run, on the road. Dockers and Giants, last game of the season, the round.
I mean, I'm just going to say Fremantle because they're first, because I really don't actually know, because it's their home game. I don't know enough about either team, but I think it probably will be Freo.
I think Freo won all of their games last season.
Yeah, okay. Well, now I know something about them.
And I think they were possibly robbed of a premiership would be my thoughts. But
Rach, what do you think?
Yes, I think Freo as well, although I think North Melbourne might have been robbed. So there you are.
Okay, well, in a moment, I'm going to play you, or leave you on tonight's show with a pep talk that Cara Antonio, the captain of the Fremantle Dockers, gave to her team. I thought it was absolutely brilliant and shows some real leadership, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to from the Freo Dockers this year. Have a listen. We'll see you next week.
And finally, to this amazing playing group. Where do I start? Firstly, I cannot express how incredibly proud I am to lead this group for a fifth season. I want to thank you all for putting the trust and belief in me. I have never and will never take that for granted, and I promise to do everything in my power to protect you, support you, guide you, and take the piss out of you. I promise not to let you down. Last year, I stood in front of 25 of you, and tonight we add 6 new faces to our family that each have brought something special to the group. We've created an environment as a playing group over the years. It's the kind of environment that you take a bullet for each other, and then when you pull on that jumper, you trust that person standing next to you with your life. That person will always have your back no matter what. I can't wait for the 6 new faces to experience that. When your opportunity comes, it's unlike anything you'll ever experience. We go beyond a football team. We're a family, and our connection is building stronger and stronger. Each and every one of you bring your own individuality, strength, purpose, and a reason in why you stand here with me. Remember that and never forget it. Success doesn't build culture. Great people build culture. And that's what we have here at this football club. I am so proud to be a part of what we have and what we continue to build. There is a much bigger purpose to what and why we do what we do, girls. This game goes well beyond the training and the games. It's the impact we're having on the next generation of young girls and boys. They now look up to us as strong women, as role models. We are changing the landscape of our game. Own it and be proud. And finally, reality is that we're not going to be here and we're not going to be around forever. You only get one opportunity, or as KB mentioned, if you're in Tia's case, you get two. But take this opportunity with both hands, because you never know when that opportunity will be gone. You've done all the hard work. You're all here because you deserve to be here. So let's take this year by the scruff of the neck and stamp our mark on this game once and for all. We want to make sure that everyone knows who the Fremantle Dockers are and that we have unfinished business. Thank you.